This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, June 21st, the first full day of summer. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air on the Feast of St. Aloysius Gonzaga. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app. And a special shout out to all the dads out there. I hope you had a great Father's Day and you got to spend some quality time with your dad and really let him know that you love him. I was a baseball dad this Father's Day weekend at a travel baseball tournament in Indianapolis with my son, Joseph Dominic, who is my Father's Day gift from above. For me, that's what it's all about. It was so great to see the dads playing catch with their little boys to remind us of just how much a father means to a son. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Coming up in a few minutes, our spiritual director today, Father Burke Masters, will join us to talk about the causes for canonization for Servant of God Joseph Furbis LaFleur and Servant of God Leonard LaRue. A little bit later this hour, Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, will discuss how authenticity changes lives. And we'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and much more coming up in this hour here on Morning Air. And we start each hour always giving thanks to the good Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our executive producer here on the morning show. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We continue to pray for all of our bishops, our Relevant Radio family, and we continue to pray for peace and unity in our nation. And we especially pray for all those that were affected in suburban Chicago and the Naperville area from the tornado that hit this area just last night. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Isaiah 40:31. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As disciples and followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must learn to be patient and wait for the Lord. God's time may not necessarily be according to our time. Sometimes in His infinite divine providence, He wants us to wait for a desire of our heart for a specific reason. We may not understand why, but we need to wait. Maybe we need to grow and learn more about real life, or perhaps we need to further grow in our faith before He answers our prayers. Pray with confidence, pray with perseverance and hope, knowing that the Lord does answer our prayers when it's time, in His time. Wait for the Lord. And we always conclude praying, Jesus, I trust in You. Our number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, as Americans, looking back in history, we are so proud of all the brave men and women that have gone overseas to defend our country all around the world, true patriots with heroic virtue. Such were the cases for Father Joseph Furbis LaFleur and Marinus Leonard LaRue, both servants of God whose causes of canonization were discussed during the USCCB General Assembly last week, the bishops when they got together. And now joining us, once again to talk about who these servants of God were. We welcome back our Morning Air spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, known as the baseball priest. Father Burke is the Secretariat for Christian Formation, the director of the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and of course, a regular contributor on Relevant Radio. Father Burke, welcome back to Morning Air. Always great to be with you once again.
Thanks, John. Good morning. Good to be with you, too.
Father, I thought of you this weekend, and knowing your love for baseball. I was at a baseball tournament in Indianapolis and thought about you, and especially when I ran into a fellow who wanted to know where I got my Jeff Supon T-shirt that said, Property of Our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's amazing the reaction you get to wear a shirt like that at a baseball tournament, Father.
It's a conversation starter, isn't it? I love that. And I was glued to the TV last night. My alma mater, Mississippi State,
of course,
playing in the College World Series, and they had a close victory over Texas last night, 2-1. So it's an exciting time for Bulldog fans around the country.
How exciting, for sure. So you'll be following them hopefully in Omaha to see if they can go all the way to the championship game.
Yes, we've never won the national title. I think this is our 12th or 13th time to the World Series. So I have a feeling this could be the year that we can finally win it all.
Oh, wow. How exciting. Well, Father, one other note. Yesterday, of course, was Father's Day. Very special day for this baseball dad. But for you as a spiritual father, what's Father's Day like for you? How did you experience Father's Day?
It was beautiful. My phone was blowing up with texts and calls. And, you know, it's so interesting. I thought priesthood was going to be a sterile life that, you know, was not generative, and, you know, never really understood why people called priests father. And now, as a priest for 19 years, it's so amazing that, you know, the different ways that we give life through baptism, when the light of faith goes on in someone's eyes and heart, and when they realize that, you know, Jesus is, you know, the Son of God, so many ways, and we become a part of everyone's family. And so I remember at my 10th anniversary party, we gathered some friends. There was like 100 people there. And my dad, you know, not being Catholic, wasn't sure if it was a good thing that I was becoming a priest, you know, before I went to seminary. And at my 10th anniversary, people started taking the microphone and just sharing stories of how I had impacted their life as a priest. And I looked over, and my dad just had tears flowing down his face. And he leaned over and he said, "Now I understand what it means to be a priest." And I'll never forget that moment. And so it was like, and it was a realization for me how we are truly spiritual fathers that can give life that lasts forever.
Without a doubt. We're joined live by Father Burke Masters, the Secretary for Christian Formation and Director of the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. Father, last week, the U.S. bishops at the USCCB General Assembly discussed various action items, and on the agenda was the action item to discuss the causes of canonization for Servant of God Joseph Verbis LaFleur and Servant of God Leonard LaRue. Talk to us about why it's important for us to know a little bit about these two servants of God.
Yeah, and I'm glad we're talking about this because as I was doing my research, I didn't know about either one of these men. And as I read their stories, I think, wow, these are powerful stories. So the first one, Father Joseph Verbis LaFleur, was a diocesan priest in the United States. So for me, as a diocesan priest here, it's inspiring to read these kind of stories. He was born in 1912, and at the age of 7, he knew he wanted to be a priest. And so at the age of 15, he went to seminary, was ordained at the age of 26 for the Diocese of Lafayette in Louisiana. He served in a parish, and then in 1941, right before World War II began, He joined the U.S. Army Corps and was assigned to Clark Field in the Philippines. And he arrived there just before the bombing of Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. And then the day after, on December 8th, 1941, Clark Field was attacked. And they say, you know, he selflessly served the injured and those who were dying, received a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star. And then as the U.S. saw that we weren't going to win the battle in the Philippines, many of our men were taken as POWs. And he served as a prisoner of war for 2.5 years, serving in camps that were not, he was malnourished. He sacrificed food. The people who survived said he was constantly sacrificing of himself so that others could get more food, or, you know, and his example of service in that camp, in those camps, they said over 200 men converted to Catholicism simply by the way he lived his life. And then the Japanese were transporting the POWs, so these U.S. prisoners of war, to another island. And on this one boat, they put 750 men. And as it was being transported, a U.S. submarine saw it. They didn't know it was filled with American prisoners of war. They thought it was just a Japanese ship, and so they torpedoed it. And the ship that Father LaFleur was on was hit. And as the story goes, there were 750 U.S. soldiers on here. I think they said 82 survived. And Father LaFleur could have been one of the first ones off the boat to be saved. But the ones who survived said he was helping people get off the boat to go to safety. And the last they saw him, he was about waist deep in water, still helping people to safety. And he drowned. His body was never found. And so he died that day, September 7th, 1944. And now his case, as we talked about, for canonization has been opened. And just an incredible example of selflessness, sacrifice, service, really living out what Jesus said, you know, there's no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend.
And Father Burke, I understand that his mother had a premonition when she got the word that that Father LaFleur had passed away. Do you know much about that part of the story?
I just read that when they went to tell her that her son had died, she knew it because she said on September 7th, the same day that he died, her pine tree died, and it was like she knew that something had happened to her son. So when they saw the soldiers coming to her house, she said, you know, he's dead, isn't he? And she, you know, kind of was making that connection.
And Father Burke, as you mentioned, the cause for canonization has begun for Father LaFleur back in September of 2020. What is the cause? What's that process like? Can you kind of give us a little thumbnail?
Sure. Just the thumbnail sketch of the process of canonization is that the first thing they do is they look to see if the person lived heroic virtue, if they lived a holy life. Doesn't mean they were perfect, but that they lived this heroic virtue. And so what they'll do is they'll talk to people. For example, there's people who survived that sinking ship, and they give an eyewitness to what they saw. They'll also look at anything that Father LaFleur wrote, just to make sure there's no discrepancies with the faith, no heresy. And so if they can determine that he lived a holy life, then he'd be called a servant of God, which he is at this point. Now the next step along the way is toward beatification, where he would be called blessed, is they're looking for the first miracle. And what that is, you know, people will pray for his intercession. We know that the saints are not the ones who answer prayers, that it's God. But just like I would ask you to pray for me if I were sick, we can ask those who are with God in heaven to pray for us as well. And so whenever there's a situation where somebody might be praying for the intercession of Father LaFleur and a miracle happens, they will investigate that. And if it's, you know, found to be valid, then the next step was he can be beatified and become a blessed. And then if there's a second miracle like that, the last step in the process would be a verified second miracle. Then he could be canonized a saint in the church. You know, we believe that saints are all those who are with God in heaven, and some of those we can say that they are with God because of this process of, and it's a very thorough process. There's an office in the Vatican, many people who are investigating these kinds of things, and you know, it's not just, you know, somebody says it and it's done, but it's thoroughly investigated.
Want to invite our listeners, if you have a World War II or Korean War story that you'd like to share, perhaps a family member that went to either one of these wars, our number, 888-914-9149, that's 888-914-9149, or if you just have a question for our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, about the causes for canonization. Father, let's talk about the other heroic virtue, the other gentleman, Leonard LaRue, or Brother Marinus, as he was known. They used to call him Brother Marinus. Can you tell us a little bit about his life?
Sure. Very similar. He was born in 1914, so just 2 years after Father LaFleur, Leonard LaRue. So later on in life, he became a Benedictine monk. But prior to that, he was a layman. He joined the Marines. He was a merchant marine captain. They were fighting in the Korean War. And one day he was a weapons transport captain. So he was guiding the SS Meredith Victory, was the name of the ship. And as he was coming to the shore in Korea to drop off weapons for the soldiers, what he saw was the whole shoreline was filled with Korean refugees. They were fearing the forces of the Chinese and the North Korean communist forces coming after them. And they found that they're really only hours away from probably, you know, killing all of these refugees. And so Leonard LaRue had to think quickly. And what he decided to do was they got to shore, they emptied the ship of all of its weapons, all of the cargo to make room for as many people as they could. And this is fascinating because they said the boat was only made to hold about 50 to 60 people total. They got 14,005 refugees on this boat, and this was on December 23rd, 1950, and they were off on a 450-mile voyage that was very dangerous. They had no weapons. The only weapon, Leonard LaRue had a pistol in his pocket. There were no doctors. There were no translators. They said the people had to stand up. You know, they were packed in like sardines. They couldn't lay down. So everybody had to stand, you know, shoulder to shoulder, and it was freezing. So those who were up on, you know, out in the elements, you know, faced very difficult circumstances. And it was a two-day voyage when they arrived at their destination on Christmas Day. Five babies were born on the journey of 2 days.
Wow.
Nobody got sick. Nobody died. And now they say that this is, it's called the Christmas miracle. And as I was reading, I'm trying to remember his name, the eventual president of Korea was thanking Leonard LaRue because he wasn't born yet, but his parents and his sister were on that boat. And so he said, obviously, without the heroic act of Leonard LaRue, he never would have been born. And so he was thinking, you know, Leonard LaRue. And then, of course, as we mentioned later on, he ended up joining the Benedictines. And they said he was such a humble man, a prayerful man. And, you know,
he became a monk.
To live a life of humility.
He became a Benedictine monk, Father?
Yeah, he became a Benedictine monk. He took the name Marinus for the Blessed Mother. He had a deep devotion to Mary, and they said he lived this life of humility, obscurity, and penance. And so, much like Father Lafleur, Brother Marinus, Leonard LaRue, just lived this life of sacrifice and putting others' lives and putting others' good before his own, and really living out this heroic virtue that Jesus calls us to live.
This miracle, right about Christmas time, 1950, Father, that was unbelievable. I mean, that's like outside of reality to think that you could change the lives of 14,000 people by one decision.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important for us to read about the lives of saints and these two men who are not canonized saints yet, but who are men and women like you and I, who, are born into normal families, but by our faith and living out our faith, living out heroic virtue, we can impact the lives of, as you say, thousands of people. And one decision not only saved those 14,000 people, but think about all of their descendants, hundreds of thousands, possibly, it could be a million people today that were affected by this decision of this young merchant marine. And so I think the Lord, through their lives, wants to remind us that today, June 21st, 2021, we're faced with decisions throughout the day, and we can make selfish decisions, or we can make decisions that are selfless, that are pouring out ourselves for others, that we may not even know the impact that those decisions will have into the future.
Well, Father Bark, these two men, their stories are incredible. These are amazing stories. They both love God with all their heart, and they also, more importantly, loved their neighbors in a heroic way.
Yeah, and that's, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And both of my parents taught me that lesson that things will pass away, all of the stuff that we have. And each time I move as a priest, I'm reminded of, boy, this is just stuff.
Stuff.
But what lasts are relationships, our relationship with God and our relationship with our neighbor. And when we come face to face with God, he's not going to ask us, how much money did you have or how big was your house? But I think he's going to ask us, and he's going to know, how much did you love?
I think that's
these
it.
These two men showed us what love is.
That sums it up right there, Father. It's all about being people of love. Thank you so much, Father Burgmasters, as always, for being with us.
You're welcome, and have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you, Father. Father Burgmasters, Director of the Office for Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Marcel Lejeune, the President and Founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, who will talk to us about authenticity, how authenticity can change lives. We'll also have another edition of Glenn's Story Corner after we hear today's Gospel reading from the 7th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Stay with us. Much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Two minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on this first full day of summer. Can you believe it? It has felt like summer in many parts of the country, but today is the first full day. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we'll have another edition of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. 9. Now let's talk about sharing the gospel. Pope St. John Paul II said several times, it is not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others. In fact, let me share with you a short story. I recently ran into a deacon at the local parish in suburban Chicago that I go to, and he gave me this beautiful holy card with Touchdown Jesus on the front of it. And it has the Bible verse, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, shall live, from John 11:25. And on the back, it simply says, the gospel according to you. And it's a reminder that each one of us is writing a gospel every day. We may be the only gospel that someone ever runs into if they don't read the scriptures, they don't read the Bible. For some, it might be the only gospel they'll ever read, and that's meeting us. So we can be instruments of our Lord in very simple things just by our example. Now, as John Paul II said, it's not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others. But the question is, how do we do that? How do we introduce Christ to others? How do we respond to our Lord's call to follow him and to go and make disciples? We might at times doubt ourselves and feel inadequate. I can't do this. We might think there's a ton of people out there that are much better equipped than we are. But the Lord can work through you. He can take your weaknesses and use them to evangelize. I always am reminded of the Apostle St. Paul when he wrote, when I am weak, then I am strong. And now joining us is Marcel Lejeune to talk about how authenticity changes lives. Marcel is the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, a Catholic apostolate that works with Catholic leaders to form missionary disciples who make missionary disciples. Marcel, welcome back to Morning Air. It's great to be with you for the first time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is a fascinating topic, and I especially enjoyed reading your blog in which you called authenticity. You said authenticity changes lives at that CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com website. Can you tell us a little bit about the article and why you said that sometimes you think the apostles were complete knuckleheads?
Yeah. You know, I think to myself sometimes when read the Gospels, well, come on, these 12 guys got to walk around with Jesus. They got to see him raise the dead and multiply food and heal the blind and all these crazy miracles, right? Drive out demons and other stuff. They got to see this stuff firsthand, and they got to talk to him and ask him questions and hang out with him for 3 years. And then at the end of it all, you know, he gets arrested. They all run away. And at the cross, the only one who's there is John. And I'm thinking to myself, man, these guys are knuckleheads. I mean, how could you do that? And then I remember, oh, wait a minute. You know, I know the same Jesus. I've met this guy before. I've seen him heal people. I've seen him forgive. And I've seen him redeem. And I've seen him change and transform lives just like he did back then. And yet, sometimes I doubt, and sometimes I have problems, and I think that, you know, there's kind of this idea that to be a good Catholic, you know, maybe you can picture me with air quotes right here, you know, with good, to be a good Catholic, that we never have any problems, right? We never have any creeping doubt that's behind our belief, that we never have issues in our prayer life or our faith life. And I think that with that means that we're not authentic with each other enough sometimes, and that inauthenticity, it drives us apart. So I think we need a revival of authenticity where we can be real with each other, where we can talk about things that, you know, the struggles that we might have, the problems, so that others can say, you know what, I'm kind of like Peter, I'm kind of like Andrew, I'm kind of like John. And in the fact that I'm not perfect right now, but God can still do powerful things through me.
Without a doubt. Authenticity. Explain to us what you mean by authenticity and this revival that we need. Because I think that some people really love running into people who speak from the heart. They wear their emotions on their sleeve, and they really, you know, really describe what they feel inside when they're sharing their faith.
Yeah, absolutely. Authenticity isn't, you know, hey, I'm going to go to confession and just spill my guts to everybody in my small group. It doesn't mean I walk up to somebody in the grocery store and I just start telling them my life story. What it means is that, you know, in particular places where there's a particular call, that I share something about my life that might be a little humbling, that in fact, in some ways, almost humiliating. But more about that is that I'm willing to put my own reputation on the line for the sake of the gospel. And what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that, you know, if you think about Paul, like you said in that intro, if you think about Paul, he talked about himself being the biggest sinner of all. And the reason why is because he, before he got called into being an apostle, he was out there persecuting Christians, right? He was arresting Christians. He was an accessory to murder of the first martyr, Stephen. So here we have this man who is one of the apostles who's called to do this after all these great sins. And once he's called to be an apostle and he says yes and he's following Jesus and he's sharing the gospel, it didn't mean he was perfect. And we see that in the fact that there was conflict with Mark and with others, with Peter and others. He wasn't a perfect man. And he had his own flaws. And it says that he wasn't a great preacher. And sometimes he rubbed people the wrong way. And he's kind of rough around the edges. And I think we all have that, right? We have personality issues. We have these little, maybe some venial sins we're dealing with. You know, and or we have some kind of issue in our prayer or something else that's going on, a relationship. And that's okay in the sense that God wants us to turn those things over to him. And sometimes it helps to know that there's other people who are on the path with us, who are walking with us, who have struggled through this too. And talking about that stuff is where authenticity enters in, where I can be authentic with another person, right, without being scandalizing, self-scandalizing to myself. And I'll just tell you a quick story. You know, recently I had to have 3 surgeries in 4 weeks. One of those led to some internal bleeding, which caused me to go into the ICU. And in the ICU, I'm sitting there with internal bleeding thinking that, man, this could be it, right? Because they don't put you in the ICU for no reason. That's the worst part of the hospital to be in one sense, you know. So I'm in the ICU with internal bleeding thinking I could possibly die. And I'm asking God questions. When are you going to make it stop? I don't want to be in the ICU anymore. And are you going to show up? Are you going to help me? And what really I think happened is those questions were answered immediately when my friend, who happens to be a priest, came to anoint me. And in the anointing, he said, okay, when I anoint you and I say these prayers over you, I want you to imagine Jesus holding you in his arms because he cares for you. And in that moment, in that anointing, when the Holy Spirit shows up, I knew deeply within myself that God was holding me there. But he wasn't just holding me during the anointing. He'd been holding me in his hand the entire time. He had control of the entire situation. He is truly God. And my questions were answered in the sense of he before time began, those questions were answered. Of course, he was right there in the midst of that. But here's the kicker. The theological answer, God is always with you, wasn't sufficient in the midst of my suffering. It took my friend coming and reminding me that just by being present to me, that priest who showed up, that was where he was helped me with his own vulnerability, saying, you know what, I'm tired, it's been a long day, it was a Sunday evening, he'd done all these masses already. That's authenticity. When your friend shows up, even though he's tired, even though he's got problems, because you're more important than his own issues. And that's what I'm talking about.
Powerful, powerful story, Marcel. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue speaking with Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, as we continue to discuss the importance of authenticity and how authenticity can change lives. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
45 minutes after the hour as Morning Air rolls on, I'm John Morales, joined by Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, and we've been having a fascinating conversation talking about authenticity and how authenticity can change lives. If you've had a conversion experience, if you know what it feels to overcome your fears and allow God to work through you, and you want to be part of our conversation, you want to share that experience, give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Marcel, I'm always reminded of St. Paul, and we always, you talk about evangelization, you almost have to talk about Paul, when he says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Talk about how God works through us when we feel so weak. How can we do this? We have to rely on his grace.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you think about this, in evangelization, there's three people acting here. The first is you. You're the one who has to initiate, right? In the sense of, I'm the one who's going to have to choose to go and share my faith with somebody else. Now, that starts, of course, with how we live our lives, but it also has to have a completion in the words we use, and the church has always taught us that. It's incomplete unless we preach the gospel with our words. Now, that's the first person. Second person is the one we're evangelizing, and that person's more important because they have this crazy thing called free will, which, by the way, I hate everybody else's free will, and I love my own. Because the world would be so great if everybody just did what I told them, right? So, you know, that's for confession later. But anyway, you know, these people have free will. They're more important than I am. But then we get to the third person, who's God, and he's the most important because he's the one who's powerful enough to change a life. We aren't. We don't have grace. And that grace is the most powerful thing in the world because grace can transform a life anywhere at any time. So if we're going to evangelize, and we're going to do so with some authenticity, if we're going to be a part of this kind of dynamic, then we have to realize we're the least important of the three people. And being the least important of the three people, we get to put ourselves out there and just say, you know what, I'm going to do what I'm going to as best I can. I'm going to put it out there, and that's an act of humility, saying, I don't have the power to change a life. All I can do is what I can do. The other person has free will, and God has grace. I'm just going to be an instrument. And therefore, when we acknowledge that we're weak in this situation, God can be strong through us. And that's where our strength comes from, not from ourselves. And that's where I think Paul is getting.
Marcel, in your article, in your blog on the importance of authenticity, you talk about dropping the masks. So oftentimes we have masks when we're out in public. People are not seeing the real of ourselves. Can you talk about that aspect of dropping the masks?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you think about this, what does the world need right now? Well, the world needs Jesus. And what kind of Jesus do they need? Well, that depends on the person in the sense. And what I mean by that, what kind of Jesus? Of course, everybody needs Jesus who is Savior, who is Lord, who is God. I'm not talking about a different Jesus. What I'm saying is what that person needs in their life right now, what aspect of Christianity, what aspect of Catholicism, what kind of answer they need, you know, for their questions, it depends. It depends on the person because everybody's in a different place. So we have to have authenticity in the sense where we're willing to say to that other person, I'm going to invest my life in your life. I'm going to give you time. I'm going to give you effort. I'm going to listen to you. And I'm going to give you the real me, not a fake me, not what I think, you know, you expect. But I'm going to be the real me, and I'm going to show you who I really am, you know, warts and all, but also with real faith, and I'm going to share that, and I'm going to get rid of the masks that sometimes we put on, because we sometimes compartmentalize our faith. And I remember years ago, I had realized that I was compartmentalizing my faith, and I was putting on a different mask for different situations, and I just stopped doing it. And I'm now Marcel, on this guy you're hearing on the radio, same guy you're going to hear in my backyard when we're having a beer, same guy when we go to lunch, same guy when I teach a class, Same guy when I do my work with bishops and priests and Catholic leaders in a parish. I don't change. So I've dropped the mask, and guess what? It's a whole lot more comfortable being me. And it's a whole lot easier, and it's better for the other people because they get to see the real me, not just a me I kind of expect or put on.
I love it. I love it. And I think that that resonates with people's hearts when they run into someone that is genuine and authentic. And I guess that's exactly what we're talking about here in this segment.
Yeah, absolutely. Because think about this. You ever meet somebody and you think, you know what, I like that person. Even though they're not perfect, I really like them because I think I got the real them. And that's really what Jesus wants to give us, right? And I think that's what authenticity really provides to people. It provides you. And God made you a gift for other people. And when we give that gift of ourselves to others, that's true love, as JP2 said.
I love it. We talk about St. Paul when we talk about evangelization, the Apostle St. Paul, the great apostle who described himself as the least of the apostles, the foremost of sinners. Can you give us some perspective of why St. Paul is a great example, like the perfect example of humility and authenticity for us when we talk to others?
Yeah, absolutely. St. Paul is, you know, we have a lot of stories about St. Paul from the book of Acts and all those letters he wrote. You get a good feel for St. Paul, right? So we get to see the real St. Paul without the masks, without any kind of filter. You know, you get to see who St. Paul really is. And that's why he's important, because you see his limitations. You see his problems. You see his issues. You see all of that stuff. And being the least of the apostles is the label that he gives himself, not anybody else. And he's not doing so with kind of a false humility. He's doing so with a real humility. There really is. He is the least of the apostles because he was called after Jesus died and was resurrected, and the Holy Spirit had already come down on the church, and he appeared to Paul. So he is really, in a sense, the least of the apostles. But he's also a great example for the rest of us because he went out there with the gusto and the courage and the zeal to go and change the world so that he could bring the gospel to the nations. And I think we're called to do the same thing.
How do we do that? How can we be bold like St. Paul and be not afraid, as JP2 reminded us for so many years, when we're trying to share the gospel, proclaim the gospel?
Well, the first thing we got to do is we got to overcome our own insufficiencies. And what I mean by that is it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the other person. And if we love the other person enough, and if we really believe these things that are taught in our Catholic faith, then that means that hell is real and heaven is real. And if that's the case, then we love somebody else enough to say to them that if hell is a real possibility, I love you enough so much I want you to go to heaven with me. And then I'm not going to let anything prevent me from saying the things I need to say, but in a way that's loving and kind and gentle and understands where somebody else is at and what they need to hear. It's not in your face. It's not overbearing. It's not pushy. It's gentle. It's kind. It's loving. And it's reminded, you know what, we all need the same thing, and that is salvation in Jesus Christ through his church.
And we're reminded by the first Holy Father, the first Pope, St. Peter, in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, but do it with gentleness and reverence. In other words, with respect and that gentle spirit that we need to display if we're going to be genuine.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, here's I worked for years with college students, and there's a change that has happened in our culture, and you could actually see the changes that happen in culture faster on a college campus than just about anywhere else, because they come to college campuses before they come to the rest of us. And one of the things I realized was this, was that there are fewer and fewer people who are going to darken the door of our Catholic churches going into the future, because we saw this on college campuses. And what happened was, in response, a lot of campus ministries around the country, thank God, started going to the college campuses with the gospel rather than just opening up the church doors and waiting for college kids to come to them. And the same thing needs to start to happen in our parishes. And the only way that starts to happen is if normal Catholics like you and me and all those people who are listening today say to themselves, you know what, my neighbors, my coworkers, my family, all those people that I see day in and day out in my community, they need the gospel too. They need Jesus too. And the call is for us to go out there and share that in a natural, authentic way. And the world is crying out for this relationship with Jesus. It's our job to bring him to the world. And so let us remember that today, that that's our job. As a Christian, as a Catholic, that's our job. And that's why the church exists. The popes remind us, the church reminds us, to evangelize the world, to go and make disciples of all nations. That's our call.
And Marcel, every one of us has a unique mission, different from everybody else's mission. In your blog, you also talked about there's a price to be paid, a cost to follow our Lord. Briefly, your thoughts on the cost of following Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just like the rich young man, Jesus called him to lay down his wealth. Just like everybody else, just like him, everybody else is going to have to lay down something before the cross. So whenever we get to the point of having to lay down the cost, to count the cost, let's remember that what we gain is so much bigger, because we gain eternity. We gain relationship with God. We gain forgiveness of sins. We gain redemption and salvation. And yeah, we might lose something in this life, but we gain everything for the next, and that matters so much more.
Marcel, can you talk about the importance of our actions, how we act? We might be the only gospel that somebody actually meets when, in our everyday life. You just never know when the Lord's going to provide an opportunity to share the faith.
Yeah, you know, with a brief story, you know, my mom taught high school students for 40 years, and she used to get these kids who would say, well, I'm never going to church, you know. It's just full of a bunch of hypocrites. And she'd say, well, what's a hypocrite? And they'd say, well, that's somebody who says one thing and does another. And she says, well, do you ever mess up? She said, and they'd say, oh, of course so. And she said, well, then you need to come join the hypocrites in church, because that's why we go to church, is so we can stop being hypocrites. So, yeah, we all mess up. And in a sense, you know, at the if you think about it, the deepest level, we're all hypocrites. But what we need to do is shed as much as we can our own hypocrisy, right, our own sinfulness. So how we live matters as much as what we say, because that's the first example that people are going to look at. And it matters. It really does. And so we have to live the gospel. We have to live it out, because that is really where the rubber hits the road, because that hurts our witness to the world if we're not living a Christian life.
Final 30 seconds, Marcel, the importance of invoking the star of the new evangelization, Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yeah, absolutely. Our Lady is such a beautiful example. And as patroness of North America, right, Our Lady of Guadalupe, let's remember that she has our back. She's the one who's interceding for us. And as the only one who walked around as a sinless human being besides our Lord Jesus Christ, she's also got prayerful and powerful intercession for us, and she wants to intercede for us, and so she waits upon us. And she's the one who can go and intercede in a powerful way before the throne of God on your behalf right now today. And she can unlock things for us that we can't do ourselves. So let's make sure that as we go out today to share good news and try to live more authentic lives, that we allow Mary to be our best example of that.
Amen. Marcel, it's been a joy. Thanks so much for being with us.
All right. Well, God bless. I'll be praying for the listeners today.
Thank you, Marcel. Marcel Lejeune, the president of Catholic Missionary Disciples and CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Coming off Father's Day, our story today called Write Your Mother. President Abraham Lincoln once summoned an army surgeon to the White House. The major assumed he was to be commended for some exceptional work. During the conversation, Mr. Lincoln asked the major about his widowed mother. "She's doing fine," he responded. "How do you know?" asked Lincoln. "You haven't written her, but she has written me." Lincoln continued, "She thinks you're dead, and she's asking a special effort be made to return your body." At that, the commander-in-chief placed a pen in the young doctor's hand and ordered him to write a letter to his mother, letting her know that he was alive and well. Exodus 20:12, "Honor your father and your mother, that you may have a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you."
Thanks so much, Glenn. You can download every episode of Glenn's Story Corner on the Relevant Radio app. If you have a story idea, just email us at morningair@relevantradio.com. And that'll do it on this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance and the entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. We'll see you tomorrow morning. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead. They're warming up in the bullpen here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.